Lebowski? Is that the scene where Bunny Lebowski is flying around in the red convertible? That was good, Tara Reid. Not so good anymore. Welcome back to the Monsters of the Midday. We're joined by Todd Furman of CBS Sportsline and Bet the Board podcast to break down this weekend's college and NFL football card. What's up, Todd?
Not a whole heck of a lot, gentlemen. How are things in lovely Oklahoma?
It's good. Do you appreciate the missile, changing it up, not going with the generic Viva Las Vegas, giving you a little cover band?
You know, I can always appreciate, it's the little things. You know, when you come on radio with you guys, I know I've been working with Mark longer than I actually want to share on radio. It's like a homecoming of sorts, so I appreciate the personal touches when you come in and try and set up the segment.
I'm going to tell you, after the last segment of Radio I Deal with Mark Rogers, I mean, we're coming to a point where I don't know if I can still consider him a friend or at least let people know, because he's starting to embarrass the show with some of his opinions and thoughts, not just on sports, but got to the food sector. I don't know what's going on with the guy today, Todd.
Wait, Dusty, he's just started to do that? Mark's been on radio for quite some time. He started to do that a long, long time ago.
He's off the rails today. I'm just letting you know. So I'm just telling you, buckle up. I don't know where this is going with Mark Plain Jane Rogers.
All right, the first game I got a question about this week is Oklahoma State and Boise. And I like the Broncos. I hope that doesn't ruin your weekend, Todd, if you have a strong opinion on this game.
It doesn't ruin my weekend, but I'm going to echo your same sentiments. I think when you look at Boise, they're the more complete team at this juncture in the season. Brett Rippon's got a lot more experience at the quarterback position when you compare what he's done during his time up there on the Smurf turf to Taylor Cornelius through two games thus far. You look at Oklahoma State, and I still have some major questions about where they are defensively as well. Boise sees this game as their Super Bowl, whereas Oklahoma State, you know, win or lose, this isn't going to define who they are as a program in 2018. So for that reason, I get the feeling that Boise State's going to empty the chamber in this game, where Oklahoma State's obviously going to go out and play for a win, but I don't think they're going to place nearly the same emphasis on this contest.
All right, let's stay right here in the state of Oklahoma. It's a revenge game as the Sooners travel up to Ames, Iowa. Kyle Kemp's health status is in question. And obviously only the second game for Iowa State. I think the number's at around 17.5. I'm pretty sure the Sooners get their revenge. Will they cover the number, Todd?
You know, this feels like a price right where it needs to be set. If you build in the revenge component, and you alluded to it, Dusty, talking about the quarterback concerns for Iowa State, this will be the stiffest test that Oklahoma encounters as far as an opposing defense. It's also going to be Kyler Murray's first game on the road in conference, so it wouldn't shock me in the least if there were a little bit of jitters and this Oklahoma offense didn't pick up right where it left off in dominating performances against FAU and UCLA thus far. So by that fact alone, I might gravitate towards making a case that Iowa State is a live underdog in the first half. You hope Oklahoma is not too amped up to try and get revenge for a game they lost in Norman where they were right around a 4-touchdown favorite a season ago.
Huh, interesting. Okay. Perhaps the best non-conference win for the Big 12 was the destruction of Central Michigan by Kansas last week. The Jayhawks coming back home off of that 7-year losing streak that they had non-conference in the, or just anywhere on the road. They're favored against Rutgers. Can the Jayhawks make it 2 in a row, Todd?
They are not just a basketball program in Lawrence after last weekend. And imagine if they had beaten Nicholls State. Kansas could be 2-0, and we'd be talking about getting to 6 wins for a postseason berth. But all kidding aside, you look at this number. Kansas opened as a 4-point favorite. There's been a steady flow of cash coming in on Rutgers. The totals also come down, and I actually agree with the total move since I have no idea who wins this game. Power conference leagues. This feels like the first team to 21 gets the win in Lawrence. I'll go under the total at 45.
This is a game that really intrigues me, Todd. We did not talk about this on the Bet the Board podcast, but I do think on the SEC edition, I've alluded to a potential upset. North Texas in Fayetteville catching about a touchdown. I think Seth Luttrell doesn't have a chance to cover the number. They may win the game.
He's going to need to get a good performance out of Mason Fine, and there's no reason to believe that North Texas can't do what Colorado State was able to do over the last quarter and a half. You look at Arkansas, and you wonder how you squander a 27-9 lead, albeit in hostile territory, against a Colorado State team that had just been looking for a reason to fold up tents given how their season had started. Chad Morris has his hands full. I watched that Arkansas game in great detail. I don't think he has SEC-caliber talent. Now, why is that relevant here? I think North Texas sees this as an opportunity to get a season season-defining victory. This number opened 9. It's ticked down to 7. I don't see a ton of value. I actually made this game 7.5, 8, so the numbers lost a little bit there. But I wouldn't be opposed to trying to dabble North Texas on the money line. It feels like a feast or famine type performance. They either win the game outright or Arkansas wins it by double digits.
The last two times North Texas under Seth have gone on the road, they played Iowa and they've played Florida, and they've covered, but it's been close in both of those games. I just worry about there is a talent gap. I mean, this is the same. Basically, Arkansas is not anywhere near Oklahoma, but these Conference USA teams, they have a hard time when they're playing Power 5 teams.
I agree completely. I mean, we saw a little bit of that on display last weekend in a game I loved. It took Fresno State a full half to understand the level of physicality, speed, and athleticism they encountered against a lower-tier team in Minnesota. You can see a similar scenario playing out, and that's the one thing that's tricky with a number that's only at a touchdown. You're asking North Texas to win this football game, and my big concern is when you're a coach and you play some of these non-conference games against superior opponents, do you really want to go out there and show all of your cards? Because I think North Texas has an excellent chance to dethrone Florida Atlantic for Conference USA supremacy. So if this game, if they got behind early, I'm not sure they'll place all the emphasis on the world on winning this contest.
Seth Lee wants to win that game. He's going to do whatever he possibly can. Will it be enough? I'm not sure, but I think that they will definitely leave no stone unturned. One more in the Big 12, and it's crazy we haven't even gotten to this one, and it's not one of the marquee matchups, though. It's one of two of the marquee storied programs. USC at Texas. Who doesn't stink the most?
Well, I'll say one thing. Texas pretty fortunate last weekend to even get an outright win against Tulsa. If it wasn't for 3 missed field goals from the Golden Hurricane and a dropped touchdown pass, the narrative around Austin could be distinctly different. And I still think Tom Herman is under a tremendous amount of pressure. Meanwhile, USC, they've bought themselves a little bit of time. JT Daniel is going to need to get his feet wet a little bit as he goes. He, of course, has been upgraded to probable for this start, dealing with a hand injury. Sam Ellinger, he's an electric play waiting to happen. The problem for Texas fans is it's not always for the Longhorns. When I look at this game total-wise, I'm just not sure where the points come from with an over-under stat at 48. You've lost a little bit of value from 50.5, but this feels like a slugfest. I don't think it'll be as ugly defensively as it or offensively as it was a season ago, but I do feel 24-21 could be in the cards.
All right, before you go to the window with a ticket that says Texas Tech, I'm warning you that that may or may not be my TNW Tire Lock of the Week. I like the Red Raiders against Houston.
Well, you're getting the best of the number now, Mark. Tech opened a 1.5-point favorite. It's now the Cougars at 1.5-point chalk. Total in this game is kind of ping-ponged all over. 67 got as high as 70 before we started to see some under money come in. You look at Houston, and I was actually pretty impressed with their performance, not in the first half against Rice, but what they put together late in that game as they started to feel more comfortable in their offense, the momentum they carried forth in the first half against Arizona. And I think they're capable of putting a lot of pressure on a Tech defense that, despite all the accolades coming into the season, I want to see perform in big-time college football settings. But we know Lubbock isn't always one of the easiest spots to play, even for some of the Houston roster that's familiar with Texas whereabouts. This is a game where I made the game a pick'em, so it's funny to watch this number move 3 points, albeit across dead area. And the total at 70, I actually think you can make a slight case for going under. I really believe there'll be a lot less fireworks than people believe.
Talking with Todd Furman out in Vegas, Bet the Board podcast. Be sure to follow Todd on Twitter for any and all of your gambling needs this entire fall and all throughout the sports season. Okay, here's one we talked about on the podcast, and the number's gone actually in my favor. Washington at Utah. I understand Utah's a tough place to play. They play that good defense. But my concern for Utah is that they are not any good whatsoever offensively. I like the Huskies here, Todd.
Well, it's very real sharp money, I can tell you that, that's coming on Utah. Taking this number down, Dusty, from when we first talked about it at 6.5 down to 4.5 in some locations. BetOnline.ag sits right in the middle, that 5, 5.5 range. You look at Washington, and over the last 3 seasons, they failed to cover the number in 3 matchups against Utah. Last year, they were 17.5-point favorites. They needed 10 points in the final minute to win that game by the slimmest of margins. A few short years ago, Utah actually won outright, catching a few points. Rice-Eccles, one of the more difficult places to play, but much like you, Dusty, I worry about where Utah is going to go for offense, because if Zach Moss isn't 100%, they don't have a ton of playmakers on this roster capable of putting pressure on Washington. And you highlighted it. You talked about Myles Gaskin and his ability to go off against Utah. I think we could see more of the same. Again, I hate to do this and abstain, but I made the game 6. I don't see a whole lot of wiggle room. Unless the number got down to 4, the value would shift to Washington, and if the number climbed back up to 7, I'd make a case for the Utes.
Ohio and Virginia, this is another big line move.
Well, part of this move here, Mark, is because they're moving out of Charlottesville, taking the game to Vanderbilt. So it's going to be played on a neutral field to try and make sure they were able to get the game in given the hurricane-like conditions they would have experienced. So that's the reason you see the move here, and also why the total that immediately got bet down when it opened, along with every game projected to be played in weather by about as many as 10 points. I look at this game, and I actually would have liked Ohio a lot more if they were playing in Charlottesville, because you would have had 3.5 more points in your back pocket, and I don't see Virginia having much of a home field advantage. Frank Solich's team, one of my picks to compete for the MAC supremacy this year. And at 4, if the number gets back there, I could see Ohio giving Virginia all they can handle and then some.
All right, I want to go just to 2 marquee matchups. Ohio State, TCU. Can the Frogs keep it close, Todd?
Gary Patterson's track record says they can, but I just think this is too big a disparity talent-wise for TCU to match up, both on the offensive and defensive lines. The one thing we've seen from Ohio State so far this season, Dwayne Haskins is stretching the field much more than JT Barrett was ever allowed to do. And maybe that's because Urban Meyer isn't running a conservative game plan trying to go east-west, electing to go north-south. I look at Ohio State defensively, and some major questions for TCU in the trenches there. Will they be able to withstand the pass rush of Nick Bosa and company? While it's going to be very attractive to try and make a case for the underdog here, I'd rather lay the points with Ohio State, and I actually think this game can go over the total at 58.5. I feel it's about a touchdown too low.
I gotta know, I'm trying to get Dusty to make a pick on this game, and he wouldn't do it, but what's going to happen in the Jacksonville-New England game?
I'm going to make a case for Jacksonville here. If you're going to give me the better defense at home catching points with revenge, I think the Jags are going to be a very tough out for New England. You look at the Patriots, and yes, they showed that their offense can move the football with a no-name receiving core last weekend. But this secondary of Jacksonville is going to be another beast. Barry Church and Tayshawn Gibson, two safeties that don't get enough credit. And unlike Jacksonville playing a little bit of zone in the key junctures of the AFC Championship, you're not going to see any of that here. Whether or not Leonard Fournette starts, I think Jacksonville is the side here. This is a game that they've had circled ever since the Patriots knocked them out of the playoffs.
Any strong opinion, Auburn, LSU?
Lay it or don't play it. I have zero confidence in Joe Burrow's ability to put any sort of pressure whatsoever on this Auburn defense. I do worry about the Tigers from Jordan-Hare being able to move the football on the ground. But I think Jared Stidham can do enough in the air to loosen some things up. This feels like a 27-10, 31-10 type ballgame. So while I like the under, I do like Auburn as well.
All right, get out of here, man. The incomparable Todd Furman. We will talk to you again next Thursday. Thanks as always.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Man, that was...